Jesus says, follow me. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by this statement here? We're going to look to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's pray together. O Lord, as you call out to us through the ages, we ask but for the courage of Simon and Andrew, James and John, and ask that we follow you wherever you are leading us. Lord, you are leading us out to be fishers of men, to speak your words in the community around us. Show us what this means, that we may be your people, that we may be your faithful followers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, happy Father's Day to all the gents in our congregation. Go home with a gift certificate. How sweet is that? I wish you all the best Father's Day. It's a very important role that you play in our world. One of my objectives this morning is to talk about the role that a man played in my life, my own father. His name was Donald Lloyd LaQuire. The other goal that I have is to faithfully open up the Word of God with you, so let's see if I can do both at the same time. My dad taught me very many things. He taught me how to mow the lawn, which is a very important skill. Something that I practice maybe a bit more often than I would want to, but he taught me that. My father taught me how to hunt, how to go into the woods and select a nice place for my deer stand. He also taught me how to fish. My dad taught me how to be a fisherman. I still remember him coming in early in the morning before the crack of dawn, shaking me in the bed. Stan, it's time to wake up. It's time to go fishing. Often I didn't want to get out of bed, but as a faithful child, I would do that. I wonder if Jesus is shaking us a little bit this morning and saying to us, it's time to wake up. It's time to go fishing. Fishing for men. And if you want to follow Jesus, and oh my gosh, I hope and pray that you do, a part of that is going to mean looking for other people that we can draw in, that we can lure back into the kingdom of God. Men, women, and children, what does it mean to go fishing for them? I've got three suggestions for you of ways in which we can make this happen in our lives. One thing we need to do is to study hunger. Another thing that we need to do, I think, is to make some noise. And lastly, to be bait. Study hunger, make some noise, and be bait. If you want to go fishing, be that for fish or for men, one thing that you need to do is understand the principles of hunger. What are fish hungry for? My dad had plenty of theories about this. I have not checked them all out. I don't know if they're true or not. But you can nod your head, gentlemen, if you think that this is indeed the case. My dad felt like a little bit of rain was a good thing. A little bit of rain would knock some bait off of the leaves of the trees, and the fish would be all aroused and come up, and that was a good time to go fishing. However, if it rained too hard, that would muddy the waters and knock too much food into the water, and that maybe wasn't a good time to go fishing. My dad also felt like early morning was a good time to go fishing, too. The fish were waking up. They'd be hungry. Maybe that's why he would come into my bedroom and wake me up to go fishing as well. If you are going to fish, if you're going to be a good fisherman, you've got to know hunger. Eventually, my dad felt like I was getting bored with just simple casting fishing. And he introduced me to dry fly fishing, which I really appreciate because there is an art to that. There's a beauty to that. And there is a science to that as well. Probably nobody has to study hunger more than a dry fly fisherman. You've got to be almost a bug scientist or an entomologist, I think they call them. You have to know what's hatching at the moment and what might be falling into the water, because that's what the fish are going to be hitting. And so these fishermen, if they're really into it, know the different species of mayflies and when they're coming out. They know the different species of midges and when they're coming out. And indeed, in my tackle box, which I brought along, I have quite a variety of different kinds of flies that hopefully will match what fish are hungry for. But we're called by the Lord to go fishing for people. If you want to faithfully follow him and fish for people, fishing techniques apply, my friends. We need to understand what the world around us is hungry for. I think this might be one of the easiest ways to go fishing. Because there's something about human beings, we are hungry. We are ravenous. We crave. We salivate. We indulge. We know how to eat physically. And spiritually, too. I think people are just hungry. That's one thing that you can go to the bank with. That's one thing that you can count on. People are hungry. And they will rise to our attempts to lure them in. Many of them will, for sure. Let me give you a few examples of what people are hungry for. After I want to tell you this first. I'm not sure this is completely in the Bible. I think it is. But my hunch is that though we are very, very hungry people, what we are hungry for at its core, at its base, is a good thing. We are made in God's image. We crave him. We are hungry for him. The problem is we go looking for things that are not good, that are not healthy. We go chasing down paths that are unhelpful or unhealthful for us. I'll give you a few examples of this. For example, some people like to surround themselves with luxury and beautiful things. I think in and of itself, that is a good thing because God wants to bless us. God says he will take us home someday to his palace. This desire that we have for beautiful things really reflects a desire and a hunger we have for him. But we become selfish, we collect, we crave, we hoard. We make that the most important thing in our life, and now we're down another path, and we need somebody to come fishing for us and to bring us back in. People are hungry for love, very hungry for love. We are made in God's image again, and there is no other love like the love of the Father. But we go searching for it down all kinds of paths, don't we? In relationships, multiple relationships, multiple simultaneous relationships. Oh, we could go on and on, couldn't we? People searching after love, but maybe not in a helpful way. They need to be lured back into God's paths. And that's why Jesus says here, go fishing for men. Go out there. Bring them back. So here's a question for you. Something, a practical thing that you might do when you're in a conversation with a friend or a family member or something. Ask them what they're hungry for. I'm getting a little hungry right now. And I could say lemon bars. I could say pulled pork. The Bible says a lot about physical hunger, but we're talking about a different kind of hunger here, a spiritual hunger. So you might want to tweak this question slightly and ask them, what change are you hungry for in our world? What change do you want to see take place in our world? What do you hope for in the future? What hopes do you have? And then listen to them with deep and abiding respect. That's what 1 Peter says here in our little sermon. Be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Listen to them, for sure. There are going to be some people that maybe aren't interested in a conversation like that. It could be that their lives are so stressed that they're not thinking about the future. They're not thinking about what's going on down the road or what ideas they have for the world. They might just be trying to make it through another day. And so you might want to ask them, What are you hungry for right now? What hope do you have for your family? What hope do you have for tomorrow? There are so many ways to approach this and to get people thinking about the path that they are on. Jesus gives us an example of this in verse 14. It says, "Thereafter John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God." What does he preach to them? "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." One of the key words there is Galilee. Galilee was on the northern border there of Israel, and it took the brunt of all of the invading armies. Any army that came in to conquer Israel, and there was one after another, would go through Galilee first. Just like any road that comes to Nobleboro or Damascotta, you've got to go through Wiscasset first. You got to battle there, huh? You've got to do battle there. Any road getting to Jerusalem went through Galilee, and they were hungry. They wanted a change. They wanted the kingdom to come. And Jesus says, let's do that. The time is now. The kingdom of God is here. It was a different kingdom than maybe what they had envisioned, but he was there to tell them, and this is what you need to tell them too, there is yet a king who rules the universe. There is someone yet who is in charge of your life, your tomorrow, whatever you hope for, whatever the deepest hungers that you have. He is the one who is calling to you. Remember, people are hungry, and they will respond. That's why we call it good news. Just like when mom says, dinner's on the table or something, that's good news, right? Your hunger will be fulfilled. So, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You've got to study hunger. Second of all, you've got to make some noise. You want to catch the people? What can you do about that? Make a little bit of noise. It's got to be the right kind of noise, okay? Just a little qualification there. It's got to be the right kind of noise. Certain kinds of noise are not going to work. Just like in fishing, certain kinds of noise are not going to work. One thing that still rings in my ears from my dad is, be quiet, you're going to scare away the fish. I don't know how many times I heard that. It's because we would go fishing in an aluminum boat. And you can imagine little boys clomping around and all the impatience and bam, bam, bam. Be quiet, sit down. You're going to scare away the fish. So I'm not talking about that kind of noise. I'm talking about the good kind of noise that will attract the fish. And wouldn't you know, one of my dad's favorite lures, and one that always captivated my imagination, was the jitterbug. How many of you know what a jitterbug is? Oh my! Oh my, even some ladies answered. You know what a jitterbug is? Gage, what's a jitterbug?
It's a dance.
It's a dance. He just wanted it's a dance. No, as a lure, what's a jitterbug? As a fishing lure, how many? Liz knows. Okay, good. Here's a jitterbug for you here. I hope you didn't think I was dancing, making a statement about dancing. I'm going to hold up a white piece of paper behind it. Is this a jitterbug you were thinking of? It's a lure that has big scoops on each side of the face. So when you draw it through the water, it goes. Pum, 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 pum. And what does the bass say? I love this lure. This was one of my favorites. It's even colored a little bit like a frog there. You could even use it at night because it was making noise. The fish didn't even have to see it. They would just say, frog, frog. And they would come up and get that. It's a lure that makes noise. Maybe Jesus wants us to make a little bit of noise too. Here's the kind of noise we've got to make. Worship. That's why we're here today. That's why I think this is the most important hour of your week. We have got to be saying out into the community. We practice that each Sunday morning, so you can do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That there is a God who yet reigns in the universe. He is worthy of praise. People, I believe, are hungry to know that there's a reason, there's a purpose, there's something going on out there, there's a God who is alive and who cares. And that's the kind of noise, the noise of praise and worship that we've got to get going out there. And summarized, it is this. The Lord reigns. This is His world. And He invites us to live in it and work with Him. It doesn't get any better than that. That's what Jesus means by the kingdom is near. He reigns. He invites us to be a part of what He is doing in the world. That's why this hour is so important. Creation does it 24 hours a day. It's going on and on. Thank God for creation, even though we're trying our best to destroy it. It's still out there singing praise, and we need to join with all of creation, all of the angels, all of the other Christians, no matter what stripe or color, and just get the noise out there. Here's something that you can do. I have a summer challenge for you. I want to ask you to memorize one verse this summer. Just one verse. There's so many ways to worship. You can sing, you can pray, you can serve, you can sink yourself into God's Word. Here's your challenge, just one verse. And I'm going to join with you because I don't want to ask you to do anything I wouldn't do either. But write it down with the reference. I'm already thinking of which one that I want to commit to memory. And we'll talk about that later on. Even starting June 30th, we do something different each fifth Sunday of the month. We're not going to do an all-music Sunday. You maybe saw it in the bulletin. What we're going to do is like an all-scripture Sunday. I will invite you to share one verse of scripture that means something to you, and I will try and do a one-minute sermon just on your verse. So we'll go back and forth. We'll have some song and other things as well. One person has already come up to me and said, I've got my verse already. So I know that you're thinking about that. But memorize one verse this summer as you get out there, as you follow the Lord faithfully and fish for men. By studying hunger, by making some noise, and lastly, by being bait. Can you be bait? All kinds of new products come out for fishermen. They can buy and try that out in the lake and see if it works. One thing that I remember, a new product when it came out, I don't even know if they still do it or not, maybe you do it too, was the scented worms and stuff like that. Do you remember those? My dad bought some of those and brought there the little rubbery worms and stuff, and they were scented. And what were some of the scents? But weren't they even fruit, like strawberry or cherry? And it was like, what? I remember my dad doing that. I said, well, they say, you know, we always say that, they say that this will attract the fish. I wish there was Google when I was a teenager, when I was a kid. I would have Googled that. I just took my dad at his word. We do that with dads sometimes, don't we? Dads come up with stories. I didn't know if this was a story or not, but I decided this week that I would Google that. Do fish actually follow their noses? Do fish actually smell? And you know what Google says. The internet says they do. Well, they even showed a picture there of nostrils. And come to think of it, as I caught fish, when you pull them out of the water, you can see that they have nostrils there. I even found an article from Great Britain, from a magazine about fishing, that talked about how to use scent, how to use aroma to attract fish, and how to not misuse it too, because you can overdo it as well. But fish are attracted to smell. So is that a part of being baited? I believe so. The Bible has a lot to say about smells, about incense, about sacrifices, and the smell of the burning meat going up to God and pleasing Him. One of them from the Apostle Paul is on the back of your bulletins there as well. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? So if we are to be bait, if we are to accept this challenge for the Lord, maybe we need to think about what kind of aroma we're generating out there into the world. What might that look like? How about the aroma of home? How about the aroma of home, huh? I think I shared this with you before. If you're trying to sell your home, real estate agents will say all you need to do is put a little onion in the stove or even a loaf of bread. And as you turn that on, that aroma just makes people think, this is home. I want to buy this house. But what about all these millions of visitors that we are going to be having this summer? I'm not talking about the folks from away. How about these fish coming up the Damariscotta River and plowing up that fish ladder? Do you know what's guiding them? It's not GPS. It's not Google Maps. What is guiding the alewives? The smell of home. They are smelling something in that water that says, let's not go up the Sheepscotta, let's go up Damariscotta. Let's not go up the Madomic, let's go up the Damariscotta. Because those fish go back to the place where they were born to lay their eggs. They go back to the place their fathers were. They go back to the place where their grandfathers were. They're going back to their little cove in Muscongus Bay or wherever it is. And that's where they started all over again. I don't know how they do that. It's just an amazing miracle. But they are smelling their way home. And we need to do this in the world around us to exude the aroma of home and call people back home. People are hungry for this. They need to know about the love that God has for them, no matter what their lifestyle is like or what their past has been. They're hungry for this. We talked about forgiveness very recently, too. They are so hungry for somebody to tell them, it's okay. God still loves you. And they are so hungry to know that there is somebody who is in control of this crazy world that we live in, who can say, the kingdom of God has come near. Ask yourself this summer, would anyone be attracted to the Lord because of me? What kind of bait am I? Would anyone be attracted to the Lord because of the way I live my life, because of the things I say, because of the aromas I exude? Because we need to stop some people in their tracks and remind them where they're going. Remind them that they've gotten off the path and they need to come back. They need to come home. This is what they're created for. We're not just trying to convince people to our opinions or our way of doing things. We're calling them home. As I got older and my dad continued to shake me in the bed early in the morning, come on, Sam, get up and go fishing, I would balk. I would squawk. I would say, oh, I don't want to do that or something. And I pulled back more and more. Teenagers tend to do that. But you know, if he were with me today and said, Stan, let's go fishing, I'd drop everything and I'd do it. Because I miss him. I want to be with him. There's nothing like being home. And that's the same way for the people in our world that are so lost. So let's study hunger. Let's make some noise. Let's be baked this summer. And just see what we can do to draw them back to the Lord. Easy, right? No, it's not at all. Paul says there, why don't you read that last phrase in that passage? And who is equal to such a task? One thing I love about the Bible is it's just so honest. Who is equal to such a task? Maybe the pastor is, I don't know that I am. I love that honesty. And I love what Jesus says here. Just come and follow me. Let's go to the next slide there. Just come and follow me, and what will happen? I will send you out to fish for people. Or like some of the older versions say, I will make you. This is his task. This is what he does in our life. This is why we focus on the Holy Spirit like last Sunday for Pentecost, because he's got to change us. He's got to make this happen. Maybe our part of the equation is just to come and to follow him, just to trust him. We'll close together by singing this next hymn, Only Trust Him. Only trust him, because that's all that he's asking us to do, just to come and to trust him, and he will make us fishers of men. It's hymn number 361 in your blue hymnals. Let's stand and sing this together.